Today we are celebrating the most auspicious festival of the appearance day of Sri Advaita Acharya. I would like to speak for a few minutes about a drop from the unlimited ocean of the glories of this most merciful incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Begin by reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Bande tam Srimad Advaita Acharyam Adbhuta Chestitam Yasya Prasadat Agyopi Tatsvarupam Nirupayet. I offer my respectful obeisances to Sri Advaita Acharya, whose activities are all wonderful. By his mercy, even a foolish person can describe his characteristics.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda.
All glories to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Lord Nityananda. All glories to Advaita Acharya. And all glories to all the devotees of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Pancha sloke kahila Sri Nityananda Tattva Sloka dvaye kahi Advaitacharya Mahatattva.
In five verses, I have described the principle of Lord Nityananda. Then in the following two verses, I describe the glories of Sri Advaita Acharya.
Mahavishnur Jagat Karata Mayaya Srijatyadha Tasyavatara Evayam Advaita Acharya Ishwaraha.
Lord Advaita Acharya is the incarnation of Mahavishnu, whose main function is to create the cosmic world through the actions of Maya.
Advaitam Harinadvaitad Acharyam Bhakti Samshanat Bhaktavataram Isham Tam Advaitacharyam Ashraye.
Because he is non-different from Hari, the Supreme Lord, he is called Advaita. And because he propagates the cult of devotion, he is called Acharya. He is the Lord and the incarnation of the Lord's devotee. Therefore, I take shelter of him.
Advaitacharya Gosai Sakshadishwara Yanhara Mahima Nahi Jivara Gochara.
Sri Advaita Acharya is indeed directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. His glory is beyond the conception of ordinary living beings.
Mahavishnu Srishtikoren Jagadadikarya Thandra Avatara Sakshat Advaita Acharya.
Mahavishnu performs all the functions for the creation of the universes. Sri Advaita Acharya is his direct incarnation.
Ye purusha srishti stiti korina mayaya ananta brahmanda srishti korina lilaya.
That purusha creates and maintains with his external energy. He creates innumerable universes in his pastimes.
Ichayananta murti korina prakash Eka Eka Murti Korin Brahmande Pravesh.
By his will he manifests himself in unlimited forms in which he enters each and every universe.
Se Purusher Amsa Advaita Nahi Kichubeda Sarira Vishesha Thandra Nahika Vicheda.
Sri Advaita Acharya is a plenary part of that Purusha, and so is not different from him. Indeed, Sri Advaita Acharya is not separate, but is another form of that Purusha.
Sahaya kori na thandra laiya pradan koti brahmanda kori ichaya nirban.
He, Advaita Acharya, helps in the pastimes of the Purusha, with whose material energy and by whose will he creates innumerable universes.
Jagat mangala dvaita mangala guna dham mangala charitra sadha mangala yanhanam.
Being a reservoir of all auspicious attributes, Sri Advaita Acharya is all auspicious for the world. His characteristics, activities, and name are all auspicious.
Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada.
Sri Advaita Prabhu, who is an incarnation of Mahavishnu, is an acharya or teacher. All his activities and all other activities of Vishnu are auspicious. Anyone who can view the all auspiciousness in the pastimes of Lord Vishnu also becomes auspicious simultaneously. Therefore, since Lord Vishnu is the fountainhead of all auspiciousness, one who is attracted by the devotional service of Lord Vishnu can render the greatest service to human society. Rejected persons of the material world refuse to understand pure devotional service as the eternal function of the living entities and as actual liberation of the living being from conditioned life. Become bereft of all devotional service because of their poor fund of knowledge. In the teachings of Advaita Prabhu, there is no question of fruitive activities or impersonal liberation. Bewildered by the spell of material energy, however, persons who could not understand that Advaita Prabhu is non-different from Vishnu wanted to follow him with their impersonal conceptions. The attempt of Advaita Prabhu to punish them is also auspicious. Lord Vishnu and his activities can bestow all good fortune directly and indirectly. In other words, being favored by Lord Vishnu and being punished by Lord Vishnu are one and the same because all the activities of Vishnu are absolute. According to some, Mangala was another name of Advaita Prabhu. As the causal incarnation or Lord Vishnu's incarnation for a particular occasion, he is the supply agent or ingredient in material nature. However, he is never to be considered material. All his activities are spiritual. Anyone who hears about and glorifies him becomes glorified himself. For such activities free one from all kinds of misfortune. One should not invest any material contamination or impersonalism in the Vishnu form. Everyone should try to understand the real identity of Lord Vishnu, for by such knowledge one can attain the highest stage of perfection. Om, a reservoir of all auspicious attributes, Sri Advaita Acharya is all auspicious for the world. His characteristics, activities, and name are always auspicious. In this age of Kali Yuga, we are plunged in an ocean of bad qualities. Kalera dosa nide rajan asti heka mahanguna. Kirtanadeva krishnasya mukta sangha paramraja. The principles of devotion are rarely acknowledged in this age of Kali. And even when they are often polluted and corrupted by so much misconception on the basis of sensual and egoistic motivations. In this age of Kali Yuga, there is one benediction. that by accepting the mercy of the Yuga Avatar, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and on his order, chanting the holy names, everyone and anyone can accept the perfection of liberation. Outside of the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the holy name and the Vaishnavas, there is nothing auspicious in this age of Kali. Over 500 years ago, the age of Kali was so terribly victimizing the world. But once every day of Brahma, the Lord appears in his original form as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to give love of Krishna to everyone and anyone without discrimination. It is said that the Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, appears in this world for 3 internal and 3 external reasons. The 3 internal reasons are that Krishna wanted to experience himself the divine pleasure of Srimati Radharani as she was loving and serving him. Because although he is Rasaraj, Ram, the reservoir of all pleasure, he could see that the ecstasy of his internal pleasure potency, Sri Radharani, was greater than his own. So he actually became transcendentally greedy to experience the love of Sri Radha. He wanted to understand the nature of that love. And he wanted to understand what it was about himself that she so much appreciated. And the 3 external reasons were, one is to fulfill his promise that in every age he will come when there is a decline in religion, and he will establish the principles of religion, annihilate the demons, and protect his devotees. He came as the Yuga Avatar in order to establish the Yuga Dharma of the congregational chanting of the holy names. And third, he came to fulfill very deep, heartfelt, loving prayers of his own devotee, Sri Advaita Acharya. Sri Advaita Acharya is the cause of the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this world. It is explained by the great Vaishnava biographers that Sri Advaita Acharya is an incarnation of Mahavishnu and also an incarnation of Lord Sadashiva. Understanding that Mahavishnu and Sadashiva are both expansions of Lord Balaram Shankarshan, who is an expansion of Krishna, we know that both such personalities appeared simultaneously. Actually, they are one personality. But they appeared both in their full manifestations of these particular personalities in the form of Advaita Acharya. We know Sadashiva is the original form of Lord Mahadev Shiva, who resides in his own abode of Vaikuntha, and who is, in his expansion, Vishwanath. He is actually the creator, maintainer, and annihilator, ultimately, of this entire universe. Not only the universe, but the whole cosmic manifestation. When Lord Mahavishnu is a very wonderful subject matter. Mahavishnu is the expansion of Krishna, who is so big. And Mahavishnu, when he exhales, all the universes come out of his body. And when he inhales, all the universes go into his body and become unmanifested. And from Mahavishnu is created the Mahatattva, which is like a cloud within the spiritual sky, which wherein all material ingredients for all of creation are contained. But it is innate. It is prakriti. It is the feminine cause. And then Mahavishnu glances with his lotus eye within that Mahatattva. And from his glance, when it enters into the Mahatattva, it becomes Lord Shankar, or Shiva, the original Shiva within this universe. So we can understand that Shiva and Mahavishnu are so intimately connected. And when Shiva mixes, when he unites with Durga, or the basic ingredient of material energy, Prakriti, then the whole active principle of material nature starts taking place. And then within each particular universe, Lord Shiva takes birth from Brahma's anger. And he becomes the guna avatar of tamaguna and destruction. So how this took place is very wonderful. In the village of Navagram, which is near Srihatta in Bengal, there was a great devotee named Kuvera Pandit, and his illustrious and chaste wife was named Nabi Devi. And they prayed to have the Lord as their son, and through a wonderful vision, they actually were able to perceive how Mahavishnu and Lord Shankar came together in one form to enter the womb just to deliver the fallen souls in this age of Kali Yuga. And on this very, very auspicious day, Sri Advaitacharya was born. And I will return in 1 minute because I have to go somewhere. Within 1 minute I will return. So you have kirtan until I come back. From his very earliest childhood, he was so beautiful. He was given the name Kamalaksha, which means one who has beautiful eyes like lotus petals. And he was a very reservoir of compassion and devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When he was about 5 years old, his father and mother, who begot him when they were quite old, they moved from Navagram to Shantipur. And there he became very deeply absorbed in studying the scriptures. And all of his conclusions were always pure unalloyed devotional service to Lord Krishna. When he was a young man, his mother and father left this world, and Sri Advaitacharya decided to go on a pilgrimage to the holy places. And he traveled for many years throughout the north, the south, the east, and west of Bharatvarsha, going to the holy places. But unfortunately, practically nowhere could he find a real and genuine Vaishnava. But it is said that during his travels, he briefly met with Sri Madhavendra Puri. And there he found the real satisfaction of his heart, the association of a great soul. It is also said that he went to Vrindavan. And there he lived on near a hill called the Dwadashaditya Til, close to the place where Krishna danced upon the serpent Kaliya. And while residing there, he had a dream. In that dream, the Supreme Personality of God had appeared to him and told him that he was personally present in a deity form under a banyan tree near the banks of the river Jamuna. So Advaitacharya went to that place, and in the ground he found the beautiful deity of Madan Mohan, which was originally installed by Vajranabh, the great grandson of Lord Sri Krishna, and which is the Sambandha Murti for our Sampradaya. So Advaitacharya worshipped this deity in great love and devotion at the same place where the Madan Mohan temple is now. Then the Lord instructed him to return to Bengal and to turn over the worship of Madan Mohan to one Brahmin in Mathura of the name Purushottam Chobe, which he did. And as we know the story, some years later, when Sanatan Goswami was living in Vrindavan, he was begging door to door, and he saw this beautiful deity. And by the arrangement of Madan Mohan, this Brahmin of Mathura gave the deity to Sanatan Goswami. And later on, by the arrangement of the Lord, a beautiful, beautiful temple was built to worship Madan Mohan on the Dwadasaditya Teel in Vrindavan. It is said that when Advaita visited Mithila, he met with Vidyapati, the great poem, the great Vaishnava poet. And upon seeing Advaitacharya's devotional characteristics, it brought tremendous ecstatic love to the poet Vidyapati. And upon hearing his beautiful praise of the glories of Radha and Krishna, Advaitacharya also experienced great love and happiness. Then he returned to Santipur, but he was feeling very sad upon seeing the condition of human society. Meanwhile, Madhavendra Puri was feeling so sad. Wherever he was going, he was looking for a devotee to associate with. Because Vaishnavas, their greatest joy is to associate with other devotees. But he could not find a real Vaishnav practically anywhere. He was traveling the length and breadth of India. And he would see so many materialistic people spending all their monies on weddings for their children and all other types of materialistic things. He saw them just worshipping gods and snakes for material benefits. So many superstitions. And practically every sannyasi he met would declare themselves to be Narayan. So Madhavendra Puri was frustrated. And nobody wanted to hear the pure principles of bhakti. He was constantly preaching the highest understandings of devotional service. He was constantly chanting the holy name, but it was rare to find even anyone who cared to hear such things. So Madhavendra Puri was thinking, I will just go in the forest. It's better to be with no one than to be with these materialistic people. But then he was thinking there was one great Vaishnava. So he traveled to Shantipur. And when he met with Sri Advaitacharya, the two of them were just overcome with ecstatic love as they embraced and drenched each other with tears of their affection. And there Madhavendra Puri instructed Advaitacharya in the pure teachings of the Parampara. And on one auspicious day, he gave him diksha, initiation into the Sampradaya. And from that time, Advaitacharya and Madhavendra Puri, their hearts became like one in their desire to serve the Lord and His devotees. Advaitacharya, seeing the fallen condition of humanity, became so filled with compassion that he decided that no one can save the people of Kali Yuga unless Krishna in his original form personally comes to do the work. Not even he could be successful. This was his natural humility and his merciful nature. So he went to Navadvip, where he had a small house. And there he began to teach the principles of devotional service. And a few devotees would come. Like by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, he sent some of his eternal associates to be born in different parts of Bengal, but somehow many of them all congregated in Navadvip. And throughout the day, Advaitacharya would give wonderful dissertations. Any sloka from any scripture, he could give a perfect commentary to extract the essence of how this only leads to the path of pure unalloyed devotion. He would even give lectures from the Yoga Vashishta, which is a total Mayavad book. And every verse he would explain to mean that Krishna is a person, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the only means of attaining his mercy is to surrender with love and devotion. This was the power of Advaitacharya's transcendental intelligence. But with great feeling of mercy, he would go to the banks of the Ganges, and he would worship his Shalagram Shila, Vishnu. And he would offer tulsi leaves and Ganges water. And with a loud voice, he would cry out with such compassion, begging the Supreme Personality of Godhead to appear to rescue the souls of this Kali Yuga. And he would do this each and every day for many hours. And he would weep, he would cry, incessant tears. Because a great devotee is paradukaduki. Their only misery is to see the miseries of others. A great devotee, like Vasudev Dat, doesn't mind going to hell, but he cannot tolerate seeing even the most insignificant creature of this world suffering due to their bad karma, which is all based on forgetfulness of our eternal nature as the servants of Krishna. With Ganges water and tulsi manjaris, with tears of love, he would call out the holy names of the Lord so loud, with such devotion, that his chanting would penetrate all the layers of the material existence. His chanting would penetrate through the entire material existence. And Lord Vishnu, who is in his yoga nidra, in the ocean of milk, the calls of Advaitacharya woke him up. And he understood that he cannot refuse such loving calls of devotion from his devotee. So it was by the great compassion of Advaitacharya upon all of us that the supreme most munificent avatar, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, appeared in this world, in Sri Mayapur Dham, as Sachi Nandana, the son of Jagannath Misha and Sachi Devi. Advaita used to tell the devotees, he used to call out that if I cannot make the Lord come down by my devotional calls, then I am not Advaitacharya. He will come. He must come. It is his promise he will fulfill the desires of his devotees. And when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, Advaitacharya was living with Haridas Thakur in Shantipur. And all auspicious signs were everywhere. Everyone, due to the lunar eclipse, was chanting the holy names very loudly.
Krishna, 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 Krishna.
flowers were blooming, the constellations were in their most perfect order. Everything was auspicious everywhere. The hearts of the Brahmins and the devotees were just filled with joy. And upon seeing this, Advaitacharya and Haridas understood that the Lord has come. And in great ecstatic love, they had kirtan. They began dancing in transcendental ecstasy, chanting the Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna.
Advaitacharya sent his beloved consort, Sita Devi. Advaita had two wives, Sita Thakurani and her sister, Sridevi. And he sent Sita Thakurani to go and bring gifts of worship to the little child, Gaur Hari. And when Sita Thakurani saw him, she immediately thought, that Gopal of Brajbhumi has appeared now in Navadvip with a beautiful golden complexion. But for the sake of the pastimes of the Lord, Advaitacharya and all the devotees were not able to recognize that Lord Chaitanya was actually their beloved object of worship, Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya was performing his wonderful childhood pastimes. Meanwhile, his elder brother, Vishwarup, he had no interest in any material affairs. He could not tolerate seeing the face of a materialistic person. All the devotees were trying to preach, but no one wanted to listen. Navadvip was a terrible place. People were so infatuated by false ego, and it was a very wealthy place. It was the high seat of learning for the whole world. So there were so many pundits and so many scholars. There were so many reciters of Srimad Bhagavatam, but not a single one of them taught the conclusion that Krishna's body is eternal and devotional service is the goal of Bhagavat. They had so many impersonal Mayavadi and Karmakandic ideas. The names of Krishna were not being chanted anywhere. And although the devotees tried everything to induce these people, nobody wanted to listen. Because everyone thought they were great scholars who already knew everything, and everyone was very wealthy, they were not in material distress. And everyone was offensive of the Vaishnavas, practically. So the devotees would basically just remain at the house of Advaitacharya and hear his wonderful commentaries of pure devotional service and be constantly absorbed in the chanting of the holy name. So Vishwarup just practically stayed all day at Advaita's house. He would rise early in the morning, he would take his bath in the Ganges, he would go to Advaita's house before he had to see anybody. He would go so early so he wouldn't see the face of these offensive people. And when Advaitacharya, sometimes he would be worshipping his deities. And when he would hear Vishwarup come to his house, and when he would hear Vishwarup's explanations of the scriptures, he would just roar in ecstasy. And everyone was filled with delight hearing Vishwarup's. Although he was such a young boy, he had so much devotion, so much knowledge, and so much detachment from this world. So every day, Sachimata would ask her little child, Nimai, to bring Vishwarup home for lunch. So Nimai would go, covered with dust, after playing with his friends, small boy. And he would see Vishwarup at Advaita's house, and meanwhile they were all absorbed in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. And then the Lord would come in answer to their prayers. But none of them understood what was happening. So when Nimai would come,
He was so beautiful. This was an everyday affair. Everyone became speechless. All the devotees, they became so attracted to him. They could not stop looking at him. Their hearts became filled with ecstasy. They couldn't even chant his name. They became stunned. And Advaita looked at him, and in his heart he was thinking that the same attachment I have for Gopal Krishna, I have for this child every time he comes. What is it about him? He must be Krishna. But by the Lord's own will, he didn't believe it. He knew it, but he didn't believe it. And then Nimai would say to Vishwarup, Sachimata is calling, come to eat. So then Vishwarup would, and then he would run back, and they would go, and like that. And sometimes Vishwarup, after he would go, he would just take prasad, and immediately after taking prasad, he would just go right back to Advaita's house. And Sachi Mata, she and Jagannath Mishra became very worried. He just doesn't care for anything about except being with Advaita and hearing and chanting. So we should get him married, so he's well settled. Otherwise, he's becoming too detached. So when Vishwarup heard that they were going to get him married, that very night he disappeared and took sannyas and became Shankararanya Swami Maharaj and began traveling all over India. And because he was actually an expansion of Lord Nityananda, he was all attractive. And this was such a blow, it broke the hearts of Sachi Devi and Jagannath Mishra. And somehow or other, even Nimai was so broken-hearted that his beloved brother had left him. And the Vaishnavas, headed by Advaitacharya, who was the king of the Vaishnavas, when they heard that Vishwarup had left them, they began to weep. They were simultaneously in agony and ecstasy. They were in ecstasy that Vishwarup had left the world and taken sannyas to dedicate his full energies to hearing and chanting. But they were in great pain that they would know, how could we live without seeing his beautiful, beautiful devotional characteristics, without hearing his most wonderful explanations of Krishna and his lila and his teachings. So when the devotees were thinking like this, they began to very loudly call out the holy names. And as they called out, Nimai came. And he was not wearing clothes. Little child. And they just looked at him. And they said, why have you come? And he said, because you called for me. And then he ran away. They couldn't understand what he is saying. After Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Gaya and was initiated by Srila Ishwarapuri, he manifested the purpose of his incarnation, which is to spread the glories of the Harinam Sankirtan movement. And for the first time, he was publicly exhibiting the symptoms of ecstatic love. So the devotees that heard him discussing the great separation he was feeling for Krishna, they immediately ran to tell Advaitacharya that Nimai Pandit has become a Vaishnava. Advaitacharya and the devotees, they were praying to Krishna, please make Nimai Pandit a devotee. If he becomes a devotee, he will convert the world to devotional service. So when Advaitacharya heard this, he became very happy. And then he began to remember all of the feelings of love and devotion he had for Nimai. And he said, he will certainly be the one to spread the holy names throughout the world. The Lord has come. And one day,
when Advaitacharya was worshipping his deity, Gadadhar Pandit and Lord Chaitanya came to his home. They were very young, only in their teenage years, and Advaitacharya was very old. By this time he was in his 60s. And Advaitacharya was chanting the holy names with such ecstatic love, and the mood of his puja was full of such devotion that when Lord Chaitanya saw this, he fell unconscious in Krishna consciousness. And when this happened, Advaitacharya took all the arti paraphernalia and started worshipping Lord Gaurasundara. And he began to chant the beautiful mantra, Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmani Hitaya Cha Jagat Hitaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namaha. And Gadadhar, who was Lord Chaitanya's friend, who grew up with him, he was bewildered. Here is the king of all the Vaishnavas, old enough to be grandfather. He's worshipping my friend. And he said, why are you doing all this worship to a child? And Advaitacharya said, how long will you continue to think he is just a child? He is the supreme worshipable Lord of everyone's heart. And when Gadadhar heard this, he was convinced that yes, my friend Gauranga is the supreme Lord of my life. He is the master of all creation. He is the object of all love, Krishna. And then when Lord Chaitanya came back to consciousness, he saw Advaita worshipping him. He became very embarrassed. And he fell at Advaitacharya's feet, and they began to offer beautiful prayers to one another. After Lord Chaitanya and Gadadhar left, Advaita, whose very mysterious mood must be understood very carefully, he wanted to test Lord Chaitanya. Actually, he wanted to glorify Lord Chaitanya. So he decided, I will go back to Shantipur. And if he is really the Lord I prayed for, then he will drag me back here with ropes and reveal himself to me. So then he left for Shantipur. And meanwhile, Lord Nityananda Prabhu came and had his wonderful meeting with Lord Chaitanya. And they were having kirtans day and night. Lord Chaitanya was just inducing them all to just constantly chant the holy names and discuss the wonderful topics of Harikatha. So one day, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he began to call out the names of Advaita. One of his names was Nara. And he called out, Nara, Nara. And then he told Srivas Thakur's brother, Ramai Pandit, he said, go to Shantipur and give this message to Advaitacharya. Tell him that the person that you fasted, that you chanted the holy names, and that you cried for has appeared to deliver devotional service to the whole world. And he wants you to come to see him. So Ramai Pandit had no idea where Shantipur was. He just started walking. And after some time, he was at the house of Advaitacharya. And Advaitacharya was engaged in worshipping the Lord and chanting the holy names. And Ramai Pandit came. And Advaitacharya asked, why have you come? He said, I know why you have come. He understood in his heart that the Lord has sent you. And Ramai Pandit said, the message that Lord Chaitanya has given is that for many years you were chanting the holy names, you were fasting, you were weeping tears of compassion for all the fallen souls of this world just to bring the Lord down. He has come. And he has come to deliver devotional service to everyone without discrimination. And he wants you to come and see him. And Advaitacharya replied, where in the scriptures does it say that the Supreme Lord appears in Nadia?
How should I believe you that you are speaking these words? And Ramai Pandit remained silent. And he said, my lord, you already know everything. And then Advaitacharya said, yes, my lord has come. I will come to see him, providing he shows me his divine opulence as the supreme Godhead, because he has been tricking me enough all these years, and he places his feet on my head. And Ramai Pandit replied, so then Advaitacharya began to just, with such ecstasy, he began to sing and he began to dance, and his whole family began to cry that the Lord has appeared. And then they got together all their articles of worship and they went to Sri Mayapur Dham. And when they got to Mayapur, Advaitacharya told Ramai Pandit, I am not going to see the Lord. I am going to hide at the house of Nandanacharya. If he's actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he will call for me. You do not say to anyone where I am. So Advaitacharya went into hiding at Nandanacharya's house. And Ramai Pandit went to Srivas's house, where Lord Chaitanya was sitting on the throne of Vishnu with all of his devotees. And he said to Ramai Pandit, he said, go to Nandanacharya's house and tell Advaitacharya that I want him to come. So then Advaita came, and he and his wife, they fell at Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet. And they began to pray in so many wonderful ways, in utter surrender. And when Advaitacharya got up, he saw the beauty of Lord Chaitanya, and he saw all the demigods worshipping him, and Narada and Shukadeva Goswami. He saw the Lord with his Srivats and Kaustubha Mani. He saw him as the Absolute Personality of Godhead with all opulences. And in this way, he washed the Lord's lotus feet and offered him Argya and Padya and Achman and Madhupark. And then he offered him the 16 ingredients of deed proper puja. And then he dipped tulsi leaves with two manjaris on each side, and he placed them on, he dipped them in sandalwood and placed them on the Lord's feet. And he began to anoint the Lord's body with fine scented oils. And then he offered incense, and he offered fresh new clothes, and he offered flowers, and then he offered seven types of ghee lamps, and this way worshiped the Lord to his heart's content. And then Advaitacharya, in great happiness, began to sing the holy names and dance before the Lord. And he was in such ecstasy, his dancing was simply wonderful. Sometimes he was laughing, sometimes he was crying. Sometimes he would go up, he would jump up and down, sometimes he would run in circles. Sometimes he would dance so gracefully that everyone's heart would melt. Sometimes he danced in a mood that appeared so angry that appeared the whole universe was going to shatter. His hairs would stand on end. And when he saw Lord Nityananda, he would make all nice gestures to make Nityananda laugh. And in this way, he was dancing and dancing and dancing before the Lord, tears of love sprinkling from his eyes. And then he fell at Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him, any benediction you desire, please allow me to give you. He said, I have descended in this world only to fulfill your prayer. And Advaitacharya said that all my desires are fulfilled because today I was allowed to dance for you. It has been my great longing to dance before you. And now that I have danced, I have no desires left in my heart. And Lord Chaitanya said, but please ask for something. He says, there's nothing else to ask for. but you know what is in my heart. So Lord Chaitanya said, yes, I know what is in your heart. And I give you this benediction, that I will give pure devotional service to everyone and anyone freely, out of great compassion. And in every town and village, my name will be chanted, and everyone will chant the holy name. So Advaitacharya said, yes, give pure unalloyed devotion to everyone and anyone except those egoistic learned scholars who blaspheme and offend your devotees. That was his mercy. And in this way, the wonderful Sankirtan pastimes took place. They used to just sing and dance all day. And one evening, Lord Chaitanya said, why are we wasting our night sleeping? We should just have kirtan all night as well. So then, that very day, they began all-night kirtans at Srivas Thakur's house, and sometimes at Chandrasekhar Acharya's house. So they were just having kirtan day and night. It was so wonderful. Many stories about Sri Advaitacharya. One time, Advaitacharya was in the courtyard of Srivas, and he fell into the mood, the ecstatic mood of a gopi, and he began to cry in separation from Krishna. And he just started dancing with such enthusiasm. He danced continuously for 6 hours, and everyone was dancing with him. And tumultuously was the resounding of the holy names.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Finally, somehow or other, they tried to calm Advaitacharya down. And he seemed like he was pacified. And he sat down. And then Srivas and Ramai Pandit and Murari Gupta and the other devotees decided that they would go to bathe in the Ganges. But as they were gone, Advaitacharya again went into his ecstasy and started rolling on the ground. And meanwhile, Lord Chaitanya understood the heart of Advaitacharya. So he immediately came to the house of Srivas and took Advaita into the temple room and said, please, how can I serve you? What benediction can I give you? And Advaitacharya said, I am completely satisfied just to see you. I want nothing else. Lord Chaitanya said, please, I want to give you something more. Ask me. Advaita said, what you showed Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, I wish to see. And at that very moment, Advaita found himself standing on a chariot. And he was on a battlefield. He was in Kurukshetra, manifested itself in Srivas's house. He saw millions of soldiers on the Kuru side and on the Pandava side. Then he saw the beautiful form of Lord Chaitanya, who had a bluish complexion and four arms. And then right before his eyes, that form transformed into the Virat Rupa, the universal form. He saw all the universes, all the cosmic manifestation within this universal form. And he saw many heads, thousands of heads and thousands of arms and thousands of mouths. And from all the mouths, fire was flowing. And then he saw all sinful people and offensive people just like moths entering into the fire of his mouths and being destroyed. Upon seeing this beautiful form of Virat Rupa, Advaitacharya, with folded hands, began to offer prayers. And just at that moment, Nityananda Prabhu was wandering through the streets of Navadvip. And he knew that Lord Chaitanya is showing Virat Rupa to Advaita, and I want to see. So he immediately came to Srivas's house. and he saw this beautiful form, and he prostrated himself and fell down. And Nityananda Prabhu and Advaitacharya, they just were chanting the holy names in ecstatic love and offering prayers to this beautiful form of the Lord. And the Lord in his Virat Roop began to dance. And after he completely satisfied the desires and offered benedictions to them, the Lord resumed his form of Gaur Hari and then went home. And after he left, Nityananda Prabhu and Advaitacharya were just so much intoxicated what they had just seen. They just were dancing and chanting and singing. And what happened is Lord Nityananda would sing and clap and Advaita would dance. And then Advaita would sing and clap and Nityananda Prabhu would dance. And then they would embrace each other. Then they'd fall on the floor and love. And then Advaita, out of great affection, he said to Nityananda, "Who invited you to come? He was showing Virat Roop to me. How you just came like this? What right do you come? You're living like a sannyasi, but you just travel like an avaduta. Nobody knows who your parents are. No one knows what your caste is. No one knows what you eat." And Nityananda Prabhu said that you are saying these words, but I can say this, that with my fist I will beat you if you continue to talk like this. You are just an old man. In this way they were joking with one another. Wonderful transcendental jokes. And the Lord revealed his Virat Rupa, not only to Advaita Nityananda, but to the whole world, to establish his supremacy. One day in Srivas's house, Lord Chaitanya, sometimes he would be in the mood of a devotee, usually, and he would take the feet of all, the dust of the feet of the Vaishnavas and just dance and chant with them in the glorification of Krishna. But sometimes on special occasions he would actually manifest his supreme personality and accept worship as Lord Krishna. So one day he sat on Vishnu's throne with Shalagram Shilas on his lap. And he asked the devotees to ask whatever benedictions they want. And one devotee said, "My father is not a Vaishnava, he's Karmi. Please bless my father to become a devotee." And someone else said, "My wife is not a devotee. Please make her a devotee. Give her devotional service." And someone else said, "My children, they are rascals. They are not chanting the holy names. Please induce love of God and the desire for them to chant the holy names of Krishna."
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Someone else said, "My teacher, please give my teacher love of God. Make her a Vaishnavi. Make him a Vaishnava." In this way, they were all asking nothing for themselves, always asking for the greatest welfare for other living beings, especially their near and dear ones. And then Srivas, he spoke with great devotion. "My Lord, your mother, Sachi Mata, who is worshipable by all of us, please give her ecstatic love for Krishna." And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very grave and angry. He said, "Sachi Mata will not attain ecstatic love for Krishna because she has offended a Vaishnava. She has no right." And when the devotees heard this, it was like a thunderbolt against their hearts. Srivas became practically speechless. And then with tears in his eyes, he began to beg the Lord, "What are you saying? Sachi Mata is the mother of the universe. She is worshipable as the mother of all of us. She is the very embodiment of the purest love and devotion to you and to Krishna. It is through her most holy and sacred abode in the form of a womb that you appeared in this world. She has sacrificed everything for your pleasure only. What offense could she have ever committed? How could you speak this way? Lord Gaurasundar said, she has made an offense to Advaitacharya. And I have no power to forgive her from that offense. Only if she takes the dust from the feet of Advaitacharya can she be forgiven of that offense. So the devotees immediately went to Advaitacharya and brought him and told him what Sachimata had said. I mean what Lord Chaitanya had said. And when Advaitacharya heard that Sachimata committed an offense to me, she is my worshipable deity. How is this possible? And then Advaitacharya began to glorify Sachimata. She is the mother of the universe. She is the perfection of devotion. She is the object of compassion. The whole world is the object of her compassion. She is non-different than Sita. No, I'm sorry. She is non-different than Devaki. She is non-different than Yashoda Mai. She is the eternal mother of God. And as he was glorifying Sachimata, he went in such a trance of love for her that he fell unconscious. And as he fell unconscious, Sachimata saw it was a good opportunity. So she went and very, very reverentially and respectfully, she took the dust from his feet and put it on her head. And then she fell unconscious. By the power of Sachimata's glories, Advaitacharya lost all external consciousness. And by the power of the glories of Advaitacharya, Prabhu, Sachimata fell out of external consciousness. And then Lord Chaitanya woke them up. And he said to Sachimata, now, on this day, because you have properly worshipped Advaitacharya, and remove this Vaishnava aparad, at this very moment I give you ecstatic love for Krishna. And when he said this, all the devotees in great, great joy began to cry and chant the holy name. Through this story, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us how we should be very, very careful not to offend great devotees of the Lord. Even if we are on the level of pure love of God, if we offend great devotees, the Lord can take it all away. And how, and if we offend devotees of the Lord, it is impossible to achieve ecstatic love. And the only means of clearing this great obstacle from our spiritual path is we must, with a very, very repentant and sincere heart, beg forgiveness and receive the blessings of that devotee. Vaishnava aparad is the greatest obstacle to spiritual advancement. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, out of his great mercy to all of us, demonstrated through his own beloved mother how important it is to not commit offenses against devotees. And how if somehow or other one does, one must beg their forgiveness and get the dust from their lotus feet. So what was that offense that Sachimata committed? Would you like to hear? Or is it becoming too late? I was explaining previously how Vishwarup was always at Advaita's house, practically day and night. He would just come back to his own house to eat and to sleep. And the rest of the time he was at Advaita's house chanting, dancing and discussing Hari Katha. And then he took sannyas. And when he took sannyas, Sachimata's heart broke. And in her heart she was thinking, it's because of Advaitacharya that he took sannyas. He just stayed with Advaitacharya. Advaitacharya was just constantly hearing, chanting the glories of the Lord, constantly teaching him how this world is an illusion and to be detached. And due to his influence, he has taken sannyas. But Sachimata thought, because he's a great Vaishnava, I dare not make any offense by saying anything. But in her heart, she was thinking that. And then some years later, Lord Chaitanya was married to Lakshmi Devi. But then after he went to Gaya, he became such a devotee that he was spending all day with Advaitacharya and his devotees. All night at Srivas's house, all day with Advaitacharya and the devotees. And he was practically spending no time with his mother, practically spending no time with Lakshmi Devi. And Sachimata was becoming very fearful. She was overwhelmed with grief. And she was thinking that Advaitacharya, he already took away one of my sons. Now he's taking away my other son. People call him Advaita, which means non-dualistic. But actually he is Dvaita. He is full of duplicity. What does he hope to do to me? To kill me? I'm a widow with no one to protect me. Nimai is my only life, my soul, my everything. If he takes away my Nimai, then I will have nothing. In this way, she started telling these things to everyone. And that was the offense that she had committed. She spoke against Advaitacharya. Actually, she didn't make an offense. She was actually, in her own way, praising him and just expressing her uncontrollable, divine, motherly sentiments. But she did use these words, that you call him Advaita, but actually he is Dvaita. He is dualistic. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used that as the example by which to give us this most sacred and important instruction. I will summarize quickly some other wonderful stories. There was when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to take sannyas. Of course, Advaitacharya was one of the principal devotees who practically was continuously always with Lord Chaitanya at all of his kirtans and his preaching before he took sannyas. There's a nice story. A couple nice stories. I'm sorry for being so disorganized, but my health is not so good today. One time, Sri Advaitacharya. You see, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would worship Advaitacharya because Advaitacharya was the godbrother of his guru. He was a disciple of Madhavendra Puri, a godbrother of Ishwara Puri. So Lord Chaitanya considered Advaita his guru. And he would always honor him and respect him and want to serve him. And Advaitacharya, it was intolerable for him that this was going on, because he wanted to serve the Lord. So sometimes when the Lord would be in the mood of Vishnu, he would actually put his feet on Advaita's head and allow Advaita to praise him. But when he was a devotee, he would praise and worship Advaita and take the dust from Advaita's feet on his head. So one day, Lord Chaitanya was walking to Srivas's house. And some materialistic atheists approached Lord Chaitanya. And they started making fun of him. They said, "Oh, Nimai, Vishwambhar," he said, "you're spending all night just chanting and dancing so loud in Srivatsa's house, and all day with Adwaitin, all of your friends just chanting and dancing so loud. You are making such a tumultuous sound that the king, who is a Muslim king, is coming to order you to come before him. He wants to ask you questions." And Lord Chaitanya looked at them and he said, "Oh, this is very good." He said, "My whole childhood I was studying so many scriptures, studying so much knowledge, but nobody asked me questions. If the king asks me questions, I'll be very happy. Finally, I can answer someone's questions." They said, "But they don't want to ask you philosophical questions. This Muslim king who wants to punish you, he wants to hear your kirtan. That's what he wants to do." And they said it with such egoism that Lord Chaitanya just walked away from them. And then he went to Srivasa's house and he told the devotees, "I have just associated with materialistic people, and therefore they have taken all the ecstasy out of my heart. Please chant the holy names, have kirtan, and bring the ecstasy of love of Krishna back into my heart." So they had a big, big kirtan, and Lord Chaitanya began to dance. And then he stopped the kirtan. And he said, "Because of my association with these materialistic people, I am not feeling any joy in this kirtan." So they had kirtan again, and everyone was dancing. And then he stopped the kirtan again. He said, "Why is it that there is no love of Krishna in my heart?" And Advaitacharya, who was very upset because Lord Chaitanya was accepting everyone as his servant, but he wasn't accepting Advaita or Srivas because they were senior to him. He was always worshipping them. He said to Lord Chaitanya that you have given love of God and service to everyone, to the untouchables, to the chandalas, to the shudras, to the fallen brahmins, to everyone. But you have not given it to myself and Srivas. Why is this? You've even given it to Lord Nityananda. Nityananda Prabhu was there. He said, "He's a madman. He's an avaduta. You're giving him constant service. He's distributing love of God everywhere through you. You're through him, you are distributing. But the two most unfortunate souls, myself and Srivas, you are not giving, because Lord Chaitanya honored them." And he said, "You are not feeling ecstatic love because I have stolen it away from you." And Lord Chaitanya broke open the door and very quickly went outside. And the devotees were shocked. "What's he? He left. He left us." And Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas followed the Lord, and he ran to the Ganges and jumped in and went under the water. And Nityananda Prabhu jumped in after him and grabbed him by the hair, and Haridas Thakur jumped in after and grabbed him by the feet, and somehow or other they picked him up and brought him to the shore, to the bank of the Ganga. And Lord Chaitanya came back to consciousness and he said, "Why have you taken me out of the Ganges? Why have you done this?" He said that I have no love for Krishna in my heart. Therefore, what is the use of this life without love of Krishna? He said, "If I even had Shri Radha Gopinath, Bhagavan, he said, "If I had even one drop of love for Krishna in my heart,
I would not be able to go on living in separation from him. But the fact that I'm still living means I do not even have a single drop of love in my heart. And without love for Krishna, what is the use of living in this world? So why have you spared my life? And Nityananda Prabhu said, please, Advaitacharya may have spoken like this, but he was only doing it out of love for you. Please forgive him. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I will go to Nandanacharya's house to hide. You do not tell anyone that you saw me or what happened. And if you tell anyone, you will be very sorry that you did. So they didn't tell anyone. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Nandanacharya's house, and Nandanacharya was blissful. It was such a wonderful surprise. He just gave Lord Chaitanya a beautiful seat and started to wash his feet and worship him. And then throughout the whole night, Nandanacharya and his family were just discussing Krishna Katha with Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in great ecstasy. But meanwhile, at Srivasa's house, nobody could find Lord Chaitanya anywhere. Nobody knew where he was. And the devotees, they felt maybe he disappeared from the world. And and Nityananda and Haridas were not allowed to say anything. They were just watching the devotees weeping and crying. And Advaitacharya felt it was all my fault, because I spoke whimsically to the Lord. And therefore Advaitacharya went home, and all the devotees went home, and everyone was simply just in a dark cloud of gloom and depression. And the next morning, Lord Chaitanya told Nandanacharya, bring Srivas here, but no one else. And the next morning Srivas came. And Lord Chaitanya said to him, how are all the devotees? And how is Advaitacharya? Srivas said, the devotees are all weeping and crying, and Advaitacharya has been fasting. He won't eat anything. He's just crying and crying. He thinks he has made such an offense to you. Please save him. He's just submerged in an ocean of misery, as are all the Vaishnavas. So then Lord Chaitanya came before Advaita, who was laying there practically unconscious. And Lord Chaitanya woke him up, and Advaita just looked at the Lord, and with feeling himself so offensive, he just began to cry and weep, and he could hardly even speak his apologies. I have done such a mistake to you, my Lord. And then Lord Chaitanya, he said, I want to tell you a story. If there is a king, and the king has a high minister who is his servant, that minister, because he is extracting taxes for the king, because he is giving the instructions of the king to the rest of the nation, he is very dear to the king, because he's such an intimate servant. And therefore, so many privileges he is given by the king. But even such a servant, if he misbehaves, then the king will punish him too. But please know, when the king punishes him, it is out of love, it is out of affection. And when Advaita heard this, he was so happy. He said, that means that you have said these things and punished me because you consider me your intimate servant. And then Lord Chaitanya began to explain what it means to be a servant of Krishna. To be a servant of Krishna is the ultimate highest status in all existence. Actually, beyond liberation from all the temptations of the world,
is where real service to Krishna begins.
Some neophyte devotees call themselves servants of Krishna, but then out of ego they quarrel with one another.
That means they have not understood what is a servant of Krishna properly. A real servant of Krishna is one who will do everything for Krishna's pleasure. And of course we know what is most pleasing to Krishna is to be the servant of the servant of his servant. It is revealed in this beautiful story that when we call ourselves a servant of Krishna, that is not a cheap thing. We are actually placing ourselves in the highest platform of consciousness when we declare ourselves to be a servant of Krishna. Even Brahma, Shiva, the other demigods, they are performing great tapasya and aspiring to become a servant of Krishna. So by the mercy of the spiritual master and the parampara, when they are giving us service to Krishna and the Vaishnavas, we should never take it to be ordinary. We should understand they are elevating us to the highest position beyond liberation, and we have no qualification to be there. And we should understand very deeply and gravely what it means to be a servant of the Lord and his devotees. So when Advaitacharya heard these words and understood that the Lord punished him, meant he was accepting him as his own intimate servant, Advaita, all of his sorrow went away. And by Lord Chaitanya's order, he ate prasad. And he began to dance in ecstatic love while chanting the Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
After Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, the next morning Advaita and the devotees went to his house to meet him as they would every day. And when they saw Sachimata standing like a statue due to grief that her son had just left, they could not bear the thought that Nimai Pandit had left them to take sannyas. And they did not know if they would ever see him again. So they were grief-stricken. At that time, Advaita announced that that Nimai Pandit Gaur Chandra is my life and soul. Without him, there is no reason to live. Without singing and dancing and with him and serving his lotus feet, I have no life. So he decided to go to the Ganges to drown himself. So he walked to the Ganges. And upon hearing this and seeing this, all the devotees followed behind and vowed that we will all drown in the Ganges. Because there's no reason to live without the service of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when Advaita came to the Ganges and bowed down before, he heard a beautiful voice that said, "Please do not take your life. Very soon you will be dancing and chanting in the presence of Lord Gauranga once again. Give this message to all the devotees." And Lord Advaitacharya became blissful when he heard this. And he gave the message to all the devotees. And they all awaited this wonderful moment in the midst of the beautiful kirtan of the holy name. After Lord Chaitanya took sannyas and katva, Nityananda Prabhu was traveling with him to Vrindavan, and Nityananda Prabhu played a trick on him by arranging directions to bring him to Advaitacharya's house in Shantipur. So he sent one of the devotees, Chandrasekhar Acharya, to go ahead and tell Advaita to meet him at the Ganges.
So Lord Chaitanya, he was thinking he was on his way to Vrindavan. And he saw the river Ganges, but he thought he was in Vrindavan, and that was the Jamuna. So in great ecstasy, he started taking his bath in Jamuna. And then a Dvaitacharya came on a boat with a nice dry cloth and kopan for Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya said, Advaita, how did you know I'm in Vrindavan? How did you come here? What are you doing in Jamuna like this? And Advaita said, this is not Vrindavan, this is Shantipur and this is the Ganges. And Lord Chaitanya said, Lord Nityananda has tricked me. And Advaitacharya said, actually he did not trick you, because actually this is the Jamuna. Because at Prayag, the Ganges and the Jamuna meet, Sangam. And from that point, the eastern side is the Ganges and the western side is the Jamuna. So you are actually bathing in the western side. So Lord Nityananda is right. You are bathing in Jamuna. But now you haven't eaten in so many days, so please come to my house for prasad. So Lord Chaitanya happily along with Lord Nityananda went to his house. And Advaitacharya and his consort, Sita Thakurani, prepared wonderful, wonderful feasts. So much, mountains of prasad. And Lord Chaitanya, he looked at this offering. He said, this is for Krishna. Now you just give me a little portion. And Advaita said, no, you must eat all. He said, how can I eat all? This is too much. He said, you just sit down, let me serve you. And meanwhile, Nityananda Prabhu, who had a very loving and joking relationship with Advaitacharya, he said, I have been fasting for so many days along with Lord Chaitanya, and now you have cooked such a small portion of prasad, it looks like I will have to fast again. What you have prepared is not even fit to fill one portion of my hungry belly. What kind of Brahmin are you? We come to your house and you cannot even feed us sufficient prasad. And Advaita said, whatever little we have made, please accept. So they sat down and he kept giving and Lord Chaitanya kept saying, enough, enough, this is too much. And Advaita was forcing him to eat more. And Nityananda Prabhu was just eating. He was saying, there's not going to be enough. There's definitely not going to be enough. It's a waste of time even trying. And he took the rice and threw it on the floor. He said, there's not enough rice for me. And the rice bounced off the floor and hit Advaitacharya's body. And then he just began dancing in ecstasy and screaming. He said, because I have been touched by the rice of this madman, Avaduta, now I have become mad. In these way, these pastimes went on. He said, I have made a great mistake by inviting this Avaduta to my house. And then Advaitacharya called for Sachimata and all the devotees of Navadvip. And they all came to Advaitacharya's house in Shantipur. And they all had a beautiful reunion with Lord Chaitanya, seeing him as the king of all sannyasis, with his beautiful shaven head and wonderful saffron robes, his begging pot. Their hearts were broken. But on the request of Advaitacharya, all the devotees stayed with Lord Chaitanya for many days having wonderful kirtan. It was at that time that Sachimata requested, let me cook for you alone, my lord. And Advaitacharya was very anxious that Sachimata's desire be fulfilled. And Raghunath Das Goswami also had his first meeting with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at that time at the house of Advaitacharya. And then by the request of Sachimata, Lord Chaitanya decided to go to Jagannath Puri instead of Vrindavan. And every year all the devotees headed by Advaitacharya would go to Jagannath Puri and celebrate Ratha Yatra. And there are many beautiful stories describing Advaitacharya as
one of the lead dancers of the seven parties. One time, Advaitacharya was at his house, and a sadhu came to the house, a sannyasi Brahmin. And Advaitacharya gave him a nice sitting place and honored him with sweet words and said, "Please take prasad." And the Brahmin said, "I have alms to beg from you. I want to ask you a question." And Sri Advaitacharya said to the sannyasi, "You first take prasad and be comfortable, and then afterward you ask question." He said, "No, I must ask the question first." So Advaita said, "I am your servant. What is your question?" He said, "Who is Keshav Bharati?" Advaitacharya began to think that actually there are two ways to answer this question. There is an internal and external. Internally, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the supreme Jagat Guru of everyone, and therefore Keshav Bharati is his servant. But externally, Lord Chaitanya took sannyas from Keshav Bharati, so he is his guru. So we should begin discussions by talking about the external before the internal. So Advaita replied that Keshav Bharati Maharaj is Lord Chaitanya's guru. You already know this. As soon as he said that, Advaitacharya's son, Achyutananda, who was at the time only 5 years old, he ran in the room, angry as anything. And he said, "My father, what have you said? Do you know what you have said? You say that Lord Chaitanya has a guru? Lord Chaitanya is the cause of all causes, the supreme personality of Godhead. He is the source of Narayan. He is the source of all avatars. He is the source of all living beings. He is the absolute truth. It is from him that all knowledge comes. It is from..." And he just picked up Achyutananda and started embracing him with such love and soaking him with tears. He said, "You have understood, my child." He said, "I have become your father just to have you as my son, so that you can become my father to instruct me about the truths of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." And to see his son's faith in Lord Chaitanya, Advaitacharya became so completely satisfied, he just began dancing and chanting and crying and embracing his son and praising him with so much glorification. And the sannyasi was watching all this. And he said that this Achyutananda, he is a fit son to be born of Advaitacharya. Like father, like son. And he was very happy. And then he took prasad and left. And just at then, Lord, and after he left, Advaitacharya was just praising Achyutananda. And Achyutananda just was very embarrassed. He was looking down on the ground. And at that very moment, Lord Chaitanya entered into the house. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself began to embrace the beautiful child, Achyutananda. He accepted him as one of his most intimate confidential associates, although he was only a child of 5 years old. On one occasion, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Advaitacharya's house. And Advaitacharya was so happy. Actually, this was the same occasion. When the Lord Chaitanya arrived, Advaitacharya sent a palanquin to bring Sachimata so that she could also see her son once again. So she came, and there was wonderful, wonderful celebration of chanting and dancing with all the devotees and the Lord once again. And on one of these days, it happened to be Madhavendra Puri's disappearance day. And Advaitacharya was performing a wonderful festival. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to see what arrangements were being made
for the glorification of Advaita's guru. In this way, Advaitacharya really showed the natural love of a disciple for guru. And there was such arrangements made. Lord Chaitanya was walking. First of all the devotees were so anxious to participate. They were all volunteering for service. Some were saying, I will make the garlands. And others were saying, I will decorate the altar. And others were saying, I will cut the vegetables. And others were saying, I will fill the pots with the Ganges water. And Sachi Mata said, I will head up the cooking. And everyone was helping. And in this way, there was just such incredible, joyous harmony amongst all the devotees as they were all volunteering for service. And everywhere around, there was just devotees serving, decorating, and making garments, and cutting vegetables, and cooking pots, and so making, they were making big, big quantities of sandalwood and grinding it. And while all this was going on, everyone was constantly chanting the holy name.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
It was a totally jubilant atmosphere. And everyone was so intimately united in working together to glorify Srila Madhavendra Puri. And Lord Chaitanya saw this and he was so pleased. And then he went and he saw what kind of arrangements Advaita made. There were literally rooms full of rice, rooms full of sabjis. There were thousands of pots of yogurt and thousands of pots of butter and thousands of pots of ghee and thousands of pots of milk. And there was room, big mountains of fruits. And it was all being prepared. And Vrindavan Das Thakur said, we cannot even tell you how many coconuts there were. Just so many coconuts, they couldn't be counted. And everyone was so busy. And then he went, Lord Chaitanya saw all these rooms where the cooking was going on and the making of garlands and the decorations. And then he went into the kirtan hall and everyone was chanting ecstatically and dancing and people were clapping their hands and playing mrdangas and playing kartals. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu joined the kirtan. And Nityananda Prabhu was dancing and Advaitacharya was dancing. And there was a tumultuous roar of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
In this way the offering was made and the kirtan went on hour after hour after hour after hour. It went on all day. And finally, after the whole day of chanting and dancing, Nityananda Prabhu, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Advaita and all the other associates, Sachi Mata and everyone was simply watching in ecstatic love. And somehow or other, they decided they should honor the feast. Biharti had been performed, all the rituals, and then Advaitacharya began to serve out this beautiful feast cooked by the hands of Sachi Mata herself, amongst all the other devotees. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very happy to have so much prasad. And this is how they celebrated the disappearance day of Sri Madhavendra Puri. On another occasion, Advaitacharya, this was when he was in Jagannath Puri visiting Lord Chaitanya, he decided to invite Lord Chaitanya for prasad. And Lord Chaitanya had a habit, not a habit, it was his policy that when he would come for prasad, he would bring usually at least 10 sannyasis with him. They would meet him. So when Advaitacharya invited Lord Chaitanya and he accepted his invitation, he was very happy. And he and his wife Sita Thakurani were cooking and cooking. And Advaitacharya, with his own hands, he was preparing. He was such a wonderful cook. And he started telling his wife that whatever we cook, I want Lord Chaitanya to eat all of it. But he won't be able to eat all of it if all these sannyasis come with him. So it's better if they don't come. It's better if he comes alone. And then he went on with his cooking. And meanwhile, it was noon. Lord Chaitanya took his bath in the ocean and started coming to Advaita's house. And all the sannyasis were also taking their bath in the ocean, and they started to come. And all of a sudden, big pitch black clouds came into the sky. And then it started pouring rain. And then it became cold, and the rain turned into huge balls of hail. And there was high winds. So all the sannyasis decided, it's too much difficulty going to Advaitacharya's house. We cannot make it. So we have to cancel because of bad weather. But for Lord Chaitanya, there was no problem. He came and it was nice. No rains even touched him. So Advaitacharya was very happy. And he had big, big quantities of prasad. And he started serving Lord Chaitanya, who was alone. And Lord Chaitanya would eat about half of it. And Advaitacharya said to him that you must finish it. You must eat all of it. Lord Chaitanya said, how will I eat all of it? He said, it is my desire. Please eat all of it. So Lord Chaitanya ate all of it. And Advaita kept serving him more and more and more. Everything that was cooked, Lord Chaitanya ate everything. And then Advaita was so happy, he started offering prayers to the Lord. And the prayers that he offered were the prayers that Indra offered Krishna. Prayers of surrender. And Lord Chaitanya, when he heard this, he was very happy. He said, I know why you're offering Indra's prayers. I know why. Because you're the one who ordered Indra to make all those clouds and rains so that none of the sannyasis could come, so I had to eat everything you made. Because you are the supreme personality of Godhead, he was saying to Advaita. You are so powerful that even Indra must follow your orders. But to speak of Indra, even Yamaraj follows your instructions. So one who is dear to you, Lord Chaitanya said, one who is dear and properly glorifies and respects Sri Advaitacharya will never see Yamaraj. And you are so dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Jai Sri Radha Gopinath. So that anyone who worships you and serves you will attain the perfection of life, pure unalloyed devotional service to the Lord. In this way, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was glorifying Sri Advaitacharya as if he had many, many mouths in great ecstatic love. Sri Advaita Prabhu, when he saw that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had fulfilled his mission of coming to this world, he wrote a very mysterious poem. Does anyone know that poem? In essence, it said something like that the marketplace, you have come to bring rice, and now the marketplace is full of rice, and everyone has become a madman like you. And when people read that poem, they thought, what kind of poem is this? But Lord Chaitanya understood. And Swarup Damodar Goswami understood. And Lord Chaitanya said that Sri Advaitacharya, it was by his prayers that I've come to this world, and now by his prayer, he is telling me that I have fulfilled my mission and I should leave this world. And it was after reading this beautiful poem by Advaitacharya that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually became very reclusive from preaching and manifested the ultimate ecstasies of Radha's love for Krishna in the privacy of his room, Gambira, at Kashi Mishra Bhavan in Jagannath Puri.
And by the request of Advaitacharya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and inaugurated the Sankirtan movement, which is meant to save all fortunate souls through the chanting of the holy names. And it was by the prayer of Advaitacharya that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu put a close to his pastimes in this world and returned to the spiritual world. Of course, there are so many other stories, the infinite stories of the wonderful Leela between Advaita and Lord Chaitanya. Just a few Sundays ago, we explained the wonderful story of how Advaitacharya was preaching Mayavad philosophy just to get Lord Chaitanya to beat him so that he could feel that he was Lord Chaitanya's servant. Because Lord Chaitanya was so much always honoring and worshipping Advaita. So yes, Advaitacharya is so worshipable that the Supreme Personality of God had accepted him as his own guru. And on this day, it is very important for us to very carefully observe the proper etiquette by which we offer our honor and worship to one of the greatest, most munificent avatars. Advaitacharya is worshipped as the very embodiment of the highest compassion and mercy upon all fallen souls. It is by his mercy that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to deliver all of us. So with very grateful and respectful hearts, we should remember the glories of Advaitacharya. We should pray for his mercy that we may have forever, eternally, be empowered by him to be the humble servant of his servants, and purely in a mood more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, in a mood of offering all respect to others and expecting none in return, that we can constantly chant the holy names. Advaitacharya Prabhu ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gopremanandi. Thank you very much.